Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
We've been talking about the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, talking about his legacy, talking about now this battle that's come up since his death, literally hours from the time his death was announced, that both sides of the political aisle got into it about, a nominee, and Mitch McConnell saying that they will block any nominee that the president puts forward. The president, in his address last night, talking about Justice Scalia and expressing condolences to his family, that he definitely will be announcing a nominee, as he said, in due time. Talking a little about his history and what people remember about him personally and professionally. We wanted to check in with Professor Jeffrey Stone, who is a professor of law, University of Chicago, and he joins us on the phone line right now. Professor, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So you've got some history with Justice Scalia, do you not, from his years when he was at University of Chicago?
Yes. After, I'm going to call him Nino because we were friends, after Nino left the executive branch where he had served under Presidents Nixon and Ford, he decided to return to teaching. He'd been at the University of Virginia Law School before going into government. And we hired him at Chicago, and I was then a young faculty member, and we became colleagues. And since we both taught constitutional law, we also became friends. We disagreed about pretty much everything. I'm a kind of ACLU type, and he obviously was not. And yet we had a very mutually productive, respectful set of disagreements in which we learned from each other over the years. And then when he went off to first be a judge on the United States Court of Appeals and then later on the Supreme Court, we kept up our friendship over the years and stayed in touch.
I don't think I've ever heard a Supreme Court justice being referred to as Nino before. I love that. It kind of humanizes the whole thing a little bit.
Well, it should be humanized.
It should be humanized. That's right. Very interesting that you say that you came from opposite ends philosophically. That seems to have been something that was very common in his life. I guess most prominent his very close friendship with Justice Ruth Ginsburg,
right, and also with Justice Elena Kagan. So yes, he has always been very good in his personal relations, particularly with people who don't mind disagreement, finding common ground and while arguing and disagreeing, also being civil, more civil than I think people who read his opinions would imagine. Although he and I had, I should say, a pretty bad spat at one point. About a decade ago, the Supreme Court decided a abortion case by a 5-4 vote, and it was a very conservative decision. And a decision that, in my view, very much departed from settled law without much justification. And I wrote an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune in which I raised the question whether the fact that all five justices in the majority in the case rejecting the right to abortion in that context were Catholic might have affected their judgments in the matter. And I wrote that particularly because I'd been a law clerk to Justice William Brennan, who was Catholic, and during the year that Roe v. Wade was decided, and I'd watched him struggle with that issue. In any event, it infuriated Scalia, who was very upset, and basically swore he'd never set foot in the University of Chicago Law School again as long as I remained on the faculty. And that lasted for a year or two. But then at his initiative, really, we made up, and he then very graciously came out to Chicago and taught a class and gave a lecture and met with students and with faculty and alumni and had me introduce him. And then in the year since then, we resumed our friendship.
Had you ever furthered that discussion regarding the abortion decision with him to just go, you know, how could you think, you know, I don't know what, you know, when you legal scholars are behind closed doors, you know, do you just say, what were you thinking? Or, you know, did he say, are you crazy? How could you possibly write such a thing?
Well, he certainly said the latter, although not directly to me, but to a lot of other people. We did not actually ever sit down and talk through the disagreement about the case. Both of us would have understood exactly where the respective positions were, but we never had an occasion to actually sit down and do that.
Just agree to disagree.
Exactly.
Respectfully. What kind of guy was he personally?
He was smart. He was funny, engaging, and a very good sense of humor. He liked to argue. He played in a monthly faculty poker game when he was on the faculty, and one of the things he tended to do was to make up new games every time it was his turn to deal, which were a little bit silly sometimes. So he had that kind of sparkle in him. At a personal level, I think most people who get to know Nino actually like him quite a bit. His public persona is far more acerbic and nasty at times, and his judicial opinions have often displayed a kind of unpleasantness that really isn't part of his day-to-day personal life. So he used his opinions as a way of getting attention. And one of the things he told me at one point is that he did that in part because he knew that when he wrote in very harsh terms, the media and law professors and law students would actually take note, and therefore they would pay more attention to what he had to say than if he just wrote a nice milquetoast kind of opinion. So it was very strategic on his part.
What do you think that he would make of the battle that's about to take place between the president and the Senate, and the Republicans in particular? Mitch McConnell, who has said that the president, who has basically a year left on his term, shouldn't make the nomination to his office. I guess my question being, if Justice Scalia was a strict interpreter of the law, wouldn't he find making this nomination while there is a president in office for a year against the word of the law?
In principle, yes. I have no doubt that he would take that stance if the parties were reversed in this context. In this case, the law, as you put it, is not really clear as to what degree of deference the Senate is supposed to give to the president on these matters. But the tradition is clear. And the tradition is that when a president nominates a person who is highly qualified, who is moderate, and who has no ethical issues, that the Senate invariably will confirm. And so one part of the challenge is for the president to identify such a nominee. And that really does put the ball very much in the Republicans' court, so to speak. I would think it unconscionable if the president makes such a nominee for the Republicans to refuse to confirm. It would fly in the face of tradition. And I would think that as a matter of principle, Scalia would agree with what I just said. On the other hand, the stakes are very high. There's no question but that the court is today divided in a very polarized and predictable manner, and that the replacement of Justice Scalia with a liberal justice, or even a moderate liberal justice, would have a dramatic impact on the decisions the court reaches. Right now, there are basically four rock-solid conservatives and four liberals and Justice Kennedy in the middle. And with Scalia gone, if one added another liberal, there'd be five liberals on the court. And they would then control much of what goes on in the future. So I think the stakes are, in fact, in fairness, they are extremely high. And even if the Republicans don't have a leg to stand on in principle, the political realities of the situation are such that it's perfectly predictable that they would at least initially respond the way they have.
What will happen now I mean, this political battle is definitely going to go on, and for how long we don't know. But what will happen with cases that were to come before the Supreme Court? Important work that was going to be done. Does everything just come to a screeching halt now, or does the work continue? And you know, hopefully everything isn't 4-4. You know, indecisive.
Right. The cases that are already on the court's docket will continue, and they will vote. And if the vote is 5-3 or 6-2, there's no reason for them not to proceed with the decision, and that happens historically. And if the vote is 4-4, they will simply have the case re-argued after the new justice is confirmed. But it does raise, you know, a degree of chaos, depending how long it lasts, because there are quite a few 5-4 decisions in the court, and they would oftentimes now be put on hold. And there's never been a time when there's been a vacancy that lasted as long as this one would last if the Republicans refused to confirm an Obama nominee. So it would be unprecedented in terms of the time frame that we have that situation.
It's reading that the average time for nomination and confirmation is, I think, 67 days. I read some a federal study. I think maybe the most it had gone was something like 100 days or something like that. So it'll be very interesting. I mean, what this does to the election, you know, the issues that are now discussed and how this revs up both sides, you know, politically is going to be very, very interesting. You probably have to agree there will never have been more interest in the fate of the Supreme Court, an election determining the fate of the Supreme Court as this year.
Well, I think that's true. 1932 was a kind of similar time during the New Deal and Roosevelt's court packing plan. But yes, I think in recent memory, this is the most pivotal moment in terms of the makeup of the Supreme Court. And again, even though I think that the tradition of what the Republicans have to do here, which is to confirm a highly qualified moderate justice, I can understand why they are gagging at the prospect of doing so.
Really interesting. I really appreciate your insights into this and your expertise and sharing a little bit of your personal insights into Justice Scalia. Thank you so much, Professor Jeffrey Stone, University of Chicago. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.